What I'd like to do is go ahead and see if you are the head, how can we get into the office of the head? Most of us, to a degree, have walked out. Do you understand that? I mean, we've left or abdicated to a degree. And so what we want to do is figure out how can we get back into that office in the best way possible. I want to propose to you that in every family there is an office of the head. Now, I've drawn it here figuratively with a little raised platform with a railing around it and stairs going up to it. That's just a figurative picture of the office of the head in a family. Now, who can be in that office in a family? Who can be in that office? It could be the man. That's right. Who else could be in the office? It could be the woman. Who else could be in the office? It could be the children or the kids. That's right. Now, it could be anybody. As a matter of fact, the office is just there. But the stairway, anybody can go up the stairway, as a matter of fact. Now, it's very easy for us to evaluate who is in that office in any family. That's not very hard. All you need is about a morning to be with the family, observe what's going on, and you'll know who's occupying that office. How will you know who's actually occupying that office in any family? Whoever's making the decisions, that's it. Isn't that amazing? It's pretty simple. Whoever is making the decisions is occupying that office no matter what. All right, so that's how we can figure that out. Now, what I'd like to look at is what qualifications or requirements are needed for you to occupy that office. Now, this is a trick question. I want to warn you of that. What qualifications or requirements are needed for you to occupy that office in your family? Yeah, none. Basically, you just have to be the male. If you're the oldest male, that's it. In other words, there are no qualifications or requirements for you to occupy that office. If you are the male, that is your office, whether you're in it or not. That's your office. Now, you have to realize that Jesus has just done what to you in this position? He simply what? Simply appointed you. That's right. He simply appointed you to that office. Did he ever ask you if you would like to do this? No, he never asked you. Is he ever going to ask you whether you would like to do this?
No.
He's never going to ask you. When you were born a male, guess what? That was it. That was your office. It was your birthright. Whether you wanted it or not, he never asked you, and he's never going to ask you. That is your office, all right? Now, so whether you're in it or not, that is your office. And what we're going to see is how to get back in there. What I want to mention to you is that there, while having that office, you don't have to do anything to occupy it. There are two things that you need to be, that you need to earn in that office. If you want to be the head and act as the head, you can do that, but there's two things that you've got to earn, and you've got to sweat blood to earn these two things. You earn them in order. You earn one, and when you have it long enough, it'll turn into the other. What's the, no, not love. The first thing is respect. You have to earn respect. It's tough. Now, if you have respect long enough, and you do well enough in gaining respect, it'll turn into something else that I consider very, very valuable. It is not admiration. That'll be respect. It'll be, someone said it over here already. It is trust. Gentlemen, that's very, very precious. Trust to me is gold. I'd really love my troops to trust me. All right? Now, these are the two things that you need to earn. You need to earn respect, which is admiration of your people. And also, do you understand this has nothing to do with just a family? You understand, this where operates in the marketplace, in the office, and everything else. If you're the leader anywhere, you've got to earn respect and earn trust. Now, you can earn respect, and then it turns into trust. Let me show you what these two things mean. Let me give you an illustration. Do you remember that van that I burned up when I was down here in Texas? Well, when I burned that thing up, or whoever burned it up, it's not really crucial, I was over here in Arlington, Texas. And since I didn't have a motor to rebuild, I had to get a brand new motor from a dealer somewhere and have it put in there. I was on vacation. I had to do it rather quickly because I had to get back to my home. So I called all around the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and the best deal that I could find by far was way over in the city of McKinney. Now, McKinney is approximately 50 miles from where I was. And normally when I tell this anywhere else in the nation, nobody gives me any trouble, but here you all are saying, no, I think that's 57 miles. Hey, just take my word. Let's just round it off, all right? It's around 50 miles over there, okay? Just give me a break. Now, I had to get my van over there, all right, somehow. Now, I have a brother-in-law named Carl. He works up in the city of Sherman, which, give me a break, I'm going to say is about 50 miles from McKinney and about 50 miles from Arlington, thereabouts, all right? I don't worry about details. Now, also, Carl lives right over here in Allen by McKinney. Now, he was at work one afternoon at 1 o'clock, and I called him, and he picked up the phone, and he said, hello, and I said, hi. He said, oh, hi, what do you want? My brother-in-law is a man of few words, all right? So I figured I'd play his game. I said, I want a tow. He said, fine. Where do you need to go from? I said, I need a van towed from Arlington to McKinney. He said, okay. When do you need it? That's 1 o'clock, gentlemen. I said, 4 o'clock this afternoon. What would you say if someone called you? You would call a wrecker and on and on and on. I would too. However, I knew what my brother-in-law Carl would say. Anybody want to know what he would say? He'd say, sure, sure. He said, I couldn't make it by 4. I can make it by 6. Is that soon enough? I said, sure, Carl. That's soon enough. Now, is that a good deal? Yeah. I don't think I could answer that way. But I knew how Carl would answer because I know what he's like. He's just a good guy. He's a guy who always give you a hand. I mean, it never crossed my mind that he'd say no. He'd always say yes. I was pretty impressed. Now, what had Carl already earned from me then? From this, what do you see that he had earned my respect? I just knew he was a guy you could count on. That's all. Okay. Well, he showed up about 6 o'clock, still munching on his sandwich and everything, could pull up in his pickup. I had the van out there in the street. He got out, got his chain out, and put his chain underneath the pickup, put the chain underneath the van, and said, all right, get in the van with your wife. I'll take the kids with me. I said, okay, Carl, great. We got in there. He pulls the chain tight, and then, boom, he takes off from the street and starts moving. Well, as soon as he took off, I suddenly discovered my van had a certain luxury I'd never fully been aware of before. You know, trying to go like this, trying to turn that thing. I didn't realize I had power steering on that thing. But anyway, I figured, hey, no problem. I can do this. I can just, you know, manhandle it. However, as soon as we got to the first stop sign, I discovered my van had another luxury I'd never fully been aware of. I think you know what that was. Ah! You know, I was trying to stop that thing. It's like a bread box, you know, coming in to smash into something. But anyway, I got to stop. I said, wait a minute. This is scary, but it's okay. 10 miles an hour, I can handle it. I can look ahead, check out what's coming. No problem, okay? So I can handle it. I was doing fine. However, as soon as we got to the outskirts of Arlington, it was 50 miles of country road between Arlington and McKinney. Do you think my brother-in-law Carl went 10 miles an hour? No way. 55 miles an hour, boom, boom, we are rolling. Well, gentlemen, I got to confess to you, I was just a little bit petrified, as a matter of fact. I mean, I'm scared we're whizzing along right there, and I've got no control whatsoever. Also, in a van, you know, you don't even have the protection of a hood out there. It's just a bubble glass, you know, where I'm looking out there. I know I got 1 foot of chain underneath him, 1 foot of chain underneath me, about 8 foot between me and those taillights, which I'm waiting to go on at any moment, and bam, right into him. Well, I mean, I am nervous. My wife's sitting over there like a statue. I'm sitting there saying, wait a minute. I got one hope here, one hope. And that is that Carl's being careful. Well, I look ahead to see what Carl's doing, and I discovered, I did not know whether he was being careful, but he was being extremely friendly. He was talking to my kids, laughing at them, pointing at things out there, pointing at things over there, the kids laughing at everything. I'm saying, look at the road, Carl, look at the road, you know? Well, I figure it's all over. I figure I'm dead. Really, I mean, seriously, it's all over. It's just a matter of time. So I figured, I'm a practical man. I thought, as long as you're going to die anyway, why don't you play some games before you go? Seriously, I don't see any reason to get bent out of shape about things. So I thought, yeah, okay, let's play a game. What shall I play? And I thought, for a second, I thought, hey, I know. Why don't you see, of all the people you know in the world, who would you like to have in that pickup ahead of you? I said, hey, that's a good game. I think I'll do that. So I got out my mental file, got them out there, and I started going down the mental file, you know, kept on getting other ones out. And all of a sudden, I went down one file, and all of a sudden, a card popped up. Hey, I was pretty excited. Of all the people I knew in the world, the one person I'd like to have in the van ahead of me, or the pickup ahead of me. I look up at that card, and there's a name up there. I bet you can figure out what the name was. It said, Carl. Well, I thought for a second. And I said, well, I'll be. That's right. Of all the people I know in the world, the most careful person I know happens to be Carl. He doesn't make mistakes. I said, if we have an accident between Arlington and McKinney, it absolutely will not be pilot error, because he just doesn't do it. Now, it might be some Texas farmer come along from a side road that wants to get across after the pickup before the van makes it. But it won't be Carl. Well, I thought about that for a second. I said, now, wait a minute. If of all the people I know in the world, I got the best person in the pickup ahead of me, then what should I do? And I said, you should relax. You can't do better than what you got. I said, yeah, that's right. So I relaxed. I told my wife about it, and she said, yeah, that's right. She relaxed. Now, it took me 2 miles to figure all that out. I had 48 miles of clear sailing to McKinney. Pretty neat. Now, gentlemen, in that van that day, I did not know it before, but in that van that day, I realized that Carl had earned something else from me. What was it? It was my trust. You understand, he already had it. I just didn't know it. But when my life was on the line, I found out that's the man I want to have up there. Do you see how that works out? You're in respect for a while, but sooner or later it turns into trust if you keep on going on long enough. That was very valuable to me. And gentlemen, that's what I want to earn in my life. I want to earn trust from my people, wherever I am. And that's what I would propose that you earn also. Also, it's never too late. I had a chap take this course. He's 55 years old. Name was Don, white-haired chap, born with polio or gained polio somewhere, walks with a terrible limp, very limited in life in many ways. However, he's made a lot of use out of his life. He had to be sitting in the seminar, and he looked at that and he said, "That's for me." He just bowed to himself, "I'm going to get trust." I didn't know anything about it. Well, he'd already been a good man. He'd already been a pretty good husband, as a matter of fact. But he said, "That's what I want." And he went home, and he began serving his wife that year, just very, very specially in certain ways. He came back to me about a year later. He said, "David?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "David, I want to tell you something. I heard the best thing I've ever heard in my life last night." I said, "What was that?" He said, "Well, I was downstairs working in the shop, and I could hear my wife talking on the phone. I don't know who she's talking to, and I really don't care." But he said, in the conversation, she said, "You know what? I've come to trust Don like I never had before. He's fantastic." And he said, "David, I want you to know that's the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life." And then also, catch this, gentleman, he also said, "And I earned it." You see, that's reality. You don't just wish for it. You don't just hope it'll come up. You see, Don had the right attitude. He earned it. He's a good man. You shoot for it, you go get it, and someday you get it. Really, really neat. It didn't just ooze in like toothpaste. I mean, you go get it. So you're never too old. But respect moves into trust. Very, very special. Now, how do you begin this process? If you want to earn respect. Oh, also, basically, how do you earn respect? It's a simple answer, but you might not catch it right away. You only have to do one thing to begin to earn respect. If you want to begin to earn respect from your troops, anywhere, it does not matter, in your family, in your office, it doesn't matter, in your church. If you want to begin to earn respect from your troops, you have to only start doing one thing. Can anybody figure out what it is? Not obey. I mean, obeying is important, but that's not it. Leading, how do you lead? That's right. You have to decide that you'll start making decisions. Isn't that amazing? That's it, gentlemen. That's the bottom line. You know, you make decisions and take actions. Isn't that amazing? That's all you do to earn respect someday. You have the courage to begin making decisions. Because when you make decisions, what are you doing? You're leading, but also you're what else? You're accepting responsibility. Is that a good deal for the troops? When somebody has the courage to accept responsibility. Remember, what happens? When somebody accepts responsibility, what does that free the troops to do? Follow, and also what? If everything works out, what happens? They have the party. If it goes bad, what happens? They point at you. Is that a good deal for troops? That's a great deal for troops. You understand? That's all you have to do, is have the courage to begin making decisions. That's it. And someday, if you make decisions and start raising your average, you'll earn their respect. That's not hard to remember, is it? A little bit more difficult to do. But not too hard to remember. Okay. Now, if you decide that you want to earn respect and then someday look for trust to come in, you begin this process in what to the Word? If somebody's already said it over here. It is simple obedience to the Word. If God's Word tells you to do something, then you just what? You just do it. Do you have to like it? No. Do you necessarily have to have a good attitude? I would propose you don't have to have a good attitude. Many people would disagree with that, but I think that's true. God only asks one thing. When he tells you to do something, what's the only thing he asks you at first? Are you going to do it or aren't you? That's it. He can put up with a lousy attitude as long as your feet are going in the right direction. Really, he can handle that. Okay, now you have to have obedience to the Word, and then also you have to have something that Jesus will enable you to finish the project. What is it? Yes, you have to have faith. Because quite often you're going to look at yourself and say, "I don't have the ability to do what I'm being asked to do." How many have ever had that situation where you know that God has asked you to do something? You looked at yourself, "I don't have the ability to do this thing." Well, that's okay. You know what? Quite often, you don't have the ability. You and I don't. That's reality. And God can handle it if you say that. And so that's where you have to come in and say, "Hey, okay, I don't think it can work out." You can even point that out to God. He can handle that. You can say, "God, I think you've got the wrong guy. I see clearly what you're asking me to do. I don't have the ability. I have this lack, I have this lack, I have this lack." That's okay. He can handle that. He's only going to ask you one thing. What is it? Are you going to start? That's all he's going to ask. Isn't that amazing? That's all he's asking. He doesn't even mind if you're grumbling while you're starting. He only asks, "Are you going to start?" That's it. Let me give an illustration that might help you the next time you have a difficult time about just being obedient and then having faith that God will help you. With Moses, or Father Abraham, he had a pretty tough deal one time where he had to be obedient and have a lot of faith, as a matter of fact. He was 99 years old one time, and God came to him and said, "Abraham?" And Abraham said, "Oh, yes, God." He said, "Abraham, I've got something exciting to tell you." "What's that, God?" "Abraham, you are going to have a son." "Me? Have a son? I'm 99 years old." yes, Abraham, you are going to have a son. And I kind of liked it in Romans. It says that Abraham looked at himself as good as dead. In other words, he checked everything out. So he said, you know, looked at it. God, I don't think that's possible. God, I don't think the plumbing's even working anymore. I think it's over, God. In other words, he took an inventory of what he had left. And I mean, there wasn't anything there. And you understand, that was tough. And God said, Abraham, you're going to have a son. Well, God, I really don't think I can. Abraham, yes, you're going to have a son. All right, I'll have a son. He said, now, God, who am I going to have a son by? And God said, well, your wife, Sarah, of course. And Abraham said, Sarah, have you seen her recently, God? She's 90 years old. I mean, there's nothing left there. And God said, Abraham, you're going to have a son. It's going to be by Sarah. Now, move. Now, gentlemen, you talk about having to have a little bit of obedience and a little bit of, and a lot of faith. He already had to have a lot of faith, but obedience, this was tough. I mean, it was one thing for him to think about having a son, but think about him having to go over to the tent door. You know, knock on the door and said, oh, Sarah. You won't believe this, Sarah. Now, gentlemen, that took obedience. Do you understand? Can you imagine Sarah's response when he suggested to her what they were going to be doing? Oh, come on, Abraham. You know, you have the craziest ideas in the world. But no matter what, you understand, he just had to be obedient and go over to the tent door and, you know, get this thing started. Now, gentlemen, that took a lot of obedience and a whole lot of faith. I really like that. It says he looked at himself as good as dead. He knew there was nothing there. Do you understand? And quite often, you are going to have the same situation. God's going to call you to do something, and you honestly are going to look at yourself and say, I don't have any ability here. And guess what? You don't have any ability. Just as Abraham didn't. However, if God has asked you to do it, guess what can happen? It can do it. Therefore, he's only asking you to do one thing. When he asks you to do something, when he asks you to do something, which is different from all your friends, what's the only thing he's asking you to do? Obey. How much obey? Just the what? Will you take the what? First step. That's all. That's the major. In other words, will you pick up the telephone and call that first day? That's all. And if you do that, what's he going to ask you to do next? The second step. Where do we go to? Quite often we go to the 40th step right away, don't we? Don't look at the 40th step. You can't do it. You'll quit. Just ask yourself, will I take that first step? If you will, then God says, I'm pleased with you. And then if you do that, will you take the second step? And you can even point out to God, it's not going to work out, God. This will not work out. There's no way I can do that. He can handle that. That's honesty. That's reality. That's what you think. But you just have obedience and faith. All right, now, if you do this, if you decide that you want to get back in that office, that you want to earn respect by being willing to make decisions and carry them out, and you're willing to be obedient and then have a lot of faith that God's going to enable you, then you need to commit yourself to the fact that the responsibility of acting as the head must be assumed or regained at what speed? Very, very slowly. This is very crucial. You and I must understand that if you want to become a quality head again, if you want to get back in that office, you've got to realize it's just a very slow process. If you think that you're going to accomplish the things we talked about last night in 6 weeks, 8 weeks, I'd recommend that you get on and do other things in life. It's not going to happen. You're dealing in Alice in Wonderland. How many would agree that the things we saw last night were too big? Would you agree with that? It's just too big. Don't even worry about it. It's just too big. It takes time. Do you want to know how long it takes normally for a man to even begin to get in the saddle at his home? After the seminar, when he begins to see these things and wants to do them, you want to know how long it takes before he begins to call me and write and say, hey, you know, I'm getting it down. Anybody want to guess how long it takes? Normally, 2 years. I start getting letters and telephone calls from men and wives saying, you know, Charlie's coming around. Well, he's not perfect. I mean, the wives never let us be perfect. You know. But he's, you know, I'm seeing something pretty neat there. It takes about 2 years. Is that a long time? Well, actually, you said no. I kind of agree. That's pretty short compared to 20 years of nothing. So 2 years isn't too long. But it's long to us, isn't it? Because we're looking at weeks. Gentlemen, you're wasting your time. If you start looking in weeks, forget it. Get on with other things. It's not going to work. It's a long time. Okay. Any questions on all of this then? Basically, if you want to get back in that office, you only have to begin to get ready to do one thing. What is it? Not even obey. That's start what?
Step.
You need to start making decisions. That's what I want you to see. The first step is you need to be willing to make decisions and accept responsibility. That's a big deal. You all understand it's not so easy to make decisions, is it? I think it's a fairly big deal. Okay, any other questions on that? If not, then let's go ahead and look at the next page. Okay.
What if there are two people in your family that want to make a decision?
Okay. He's bringing up a question. What if there are two people, such as the wife? Let's take the wife and husband. Two people that want to make the decision. So let's say you make your decision, and your wife laughs at you and makes another decision. That's a very difficult situation, and it happens all the time. Guess what you do? You simply make your decision, you state what it is, and you take action on your decision. If your wife does not follow you, you tolerate it. How about that? Does that startle you? You tolerate it. You do not demand that she follow you. Can you handle that, gentlemen? That's difficult. Do you understand? That's embarrassing. When you state what you think is right and your wife mocks you and laughs at you and says, no, I'm not going to do it. That's stupid. And actually what you do, you simply say, but that's what I'll do. If you follow me, that'll be good. If not, that's okay. I'll still accept you. How about that? Can you handle that? You can. But do you understand that's very threatening? Do you understand what my answer is? You simply do what's right. What's what? What's right. You simply do it. You don't demand that everybody else follow you. You've got to, remember, you had to earn that respect. Remember, it's not automatic. And so you've got to begin raising your average to where your troops someday begin to follow you automatically.
What happens if she thinks then maybe he doesn't love her enough to do something like that?
Love her enough what?
You know,
if he won't go her way?
Yeah, no, that the decision will be made from both sides instead of one side. Otherwise, she says you're trying to be very...
Oh, okay. Okay,
you know,
Foti. Yeah. If a fellow feels that you have to become a macho guy, which we're going to take care of in just about an hour or so, there's not going to be any macho in this. But if a fellow just makes raw decisions without taking a wife's counsel, he's just going to get himself a whole lot of trouble. Yeah, a wise man takes all the counsel he can get before he makes his decision. And remember, quite often your decision will be to do what? Do exactly what your wife said you should do. There's nothing embarrassing about that. So a wise man will listen to his wife or his children. Anybody ever here been directed by your children pretty well? I've been directed a lot of times by my kids. That's not embarrassing.
Yeah.
Listen to them, write it down, say, that's a good idea. It makes my idea look pretty stupid. We'll do it your way. But who's making the decision to do it their way? I am. Therefore, if it doesn't work out, who's going to take all the blame? I was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really neat. So as long as you don't challenge that wife, you don't have to put her down. But you have the courage. And if she doesn't follow you, so be it. You keep on going, but you do not reject her. And you don't say, I told you so. You just keep on going. Your wives are very sensitive. You see, they want you to be right. They don't want you to be wrong. You understand? Well, let's go ahead. Let's look at the next page. What I'd like to propose here is that we go ahead and see, how do you develop character as the head? If you are going to be the head, if you decide that you are going to start making some more decisions, then how do you become a quality head? I think you'd like to learn that, wouldn't you? How do you develop character to become a good one, to where people want to follow you naturally? That's not too hard to understand, actually, because a quality head, a character head, in any position, be it in the family, in the church, in the community, in the business, it doesn't matter, only needs two character traits. Isn't that neat? You only have to develop two character traits, and you'll be a quality head. Let me show you how that works out. Why don't you give me some character traits that you would like to see in a supervisor over you? What would you like to see in a supervisor over you? Anything. You'd like to see truth. That'd be right over here. Truth or honesty? What else would you like to see? Oh, good. That's right over here. Compassion. What else would you like to see?
Trustworthy.
Trustworthy. That would be right over here. Trustworthy. In other words, you can depend on the guy. If he says he's going to be there, he's going to be there. What other things would you like to see in a supervisor? Faithfulness. I think we'd have to put that over here. That's a little bit different than trustworthiness. What's that? Setting an example. That would be right over here. Excellent. Yeah, yeah. What other things? Just give me any old thing that you'd like to see in a supervisor over you. What?
Fairness.
Where he listens carefully and tries to make the best decisions between people. Fairness. That would be right over here. Anything else that you can think of that you would like to see? How about a little mercy? Does anybody like some mercy? Compassion or mercy? How many of you have ever been really caught by the boss where you've really blown it? And it's just really obvious. And your boss has just said, hey, you blew it, didn't you? But I'll cover for you. Anybody ever had that? Just mercy. You blew it. That's okay. We'll make it. Anything else that you would like to have? Okay, the guy that'll make decisions. That's a pretty big deal. It fits right over here.